Okay, Professor Norman Cornett is joining us this morning. He is an educator of religious studies, a scholar, an art critic, publishes in Canadian and American journals, and guest teaches at universities throughout North America and Europe. How are you this morning, Norman? Nice to have you back.
Thanks much, Zelda. Appreciate the invitation to speak with you from here in San Francisco.
Okay. All right. So there's a lot of things I want to chat with you about because you're an expert when it comes to campus life and things of that sort. But maybe you could update us on what's going on in California, the state of California, a very fun-loving, not taking too much too seriously state. And you're in San Francisco. I've been to California many times, but I've never had the pleasure of being in San Francisco. What's going on in that neck of the woods?
Well, the jazz, African-American jazz singer Dinah Washington had a great tune entitled "What a Difference a Day Makes."
I love that song.
And what a difference a few months have made in the American political landscape, and specifically here in California, and nowhere more so than in San Francisco. First of all, San Francisco has a mayor who is an African-American woman, Mayor London Breed. She is the first Black woman mayor of San Francisco. And emblematically of this city, which is entails the good, the bad, and the ugly, she herself came out of poverty, raised by her grandmother in one of the poorest districts of San Francisco. Her own sister died of an overdose. Her brother is currently serving a 44-year prison sentence. And yet she is a weather vane of what is taking place in San Francisco and California politics, because they're facing issues that are now coming to the fore across the United States of America. Let me give you an example. She, Mayor London Breed has, and she herself from a visible minority, has just appointed the first ever director of mental health reform. Because, Zelda, homelessness, substance abuse is a clear and present danger in San Francisco as it is in cities throughout the United States of America. And so now at the Zuckerberg San Francisco General Hospital and Trauma Center, thanks to the multi-million-dollar gift of Mark Zuckerberg, Dr. Antoine Niguisi Bland will be overseeing what's called a behavioral health reform in San Francisco. And when I say the good, the bad, and the ugly, this is a beautiful city, Zelda. And I was just at the SF MoMA, Museum of Modern Art, where I saw an incredible installation by the African-American artist, one of the foremost, Rodney McMillian. It's entitled "In This Land," in which he takes the social scape of America, and he represents it through his art, an immersive, gigantic painting, and he himself takes the music of Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA, and he reinterprets it. What does it mean to be born in the USA if you are homeless, if you are Black, if you are marginalized, if you're dealing with mental health issues? It is in itself, it's worth a visit to San Francisco. And to give you a sense of what's happening on the ground in American cities, San Francisco has proposed Senate Bill 1045. And believe it or not, Zelda, this legislation will force the homeless people into treatment. It's intended to enact what's called a conservatorship program.
Norman, I'm sorry to interrupt, but where are all these homeless people coming from? I mean, San Francisco and California, to most people, is a very rich place, you know, with all kinds of beautiful this and that and movie stars. And how did this group of homeless come to this fate?
Yes, very good question, Zelda. First and foremost, keep in mind, San Francisco is the gateway to Silicon Valley. So the wealth is off the radar. By the same token, with this comes a rise in the rents, a rise in the purchase of homes, hence the homelessness, so that you have families living in cars. And actually, the parents taking their children to school from the car and then going to work these jobs in Rodney McMillian's In This Land, where the exhibition at SF MoMA, that is so striking. The gap between the rich and the poor is a chasm as big as the Grand Canyon now.
What about the criminality? I mean, you know, when you have so little and others have so much and there isn't sort of middle ground, crime must be higher than it's ever been in this region.
Yes. In fact, this is another issue. Of course, I was just on the bus yesterday going to Golden Gate Park. And why am I here in San Francisco and California? Because it is a political power base, Zelda. I was walking down Nancy Pelosi Street in Golden Gate Park, keeping in mind she's from here, and she's now Speaker of the House of Representatives, and who is another major figure in American politics, the senator from California, Kamala Harris, and now a presidential candidate. And incidentally, her parents met at my alma mater, the University of California, Berkeley. Her father from Jamaica, still alive, an emeritus professor from Stanford University in economics. Her mother, a breast cancer researcher, who unfortunately died in 2009. And believe it or not, Kamala Harris has a relationship to Canada. Because of her mother's teaching in Montreal, she went to high school in Montreal. And so here is this woman of color who was first the district attorney here in San Francisco after being raised in Oakland, California. And then she becomes Attorney General of California. And then she becomes the senator of California, and now a presidential candidate. And she is drawing in a demographic. You know, Canada does not have a monopoly on multiculturalism, on interculturalism, Zelda.
Well, we're seeing this sort of grow in the United States. Usually, when you came to America, you became an American. That was your main goal. Now, with the influx of so many immigrants, people want to keep their status and their backgrounds.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is, when I say what a difference a day makes, with the number of women in politics, and I didn't even mention the senior senator from California, who is a political institution in herself, Senator Dianne Feinstein. So we are seeing women in San Francisco, in California, in American politics, and women from minorities who are now have national profiles. And in the case of Kamala Harris, because her mom was from Madras, from India, I hasten to point out that the Indian family, the Indian demographic in the United States of America is a particularly significant one. It is, in fact, the wealthiest demographic in all of the USA. The average income for a family from India that lives in the United States is $100,000. This is over $40,000 more than the average American household. So these people have clout. They have political clout, and they have economic clout.
Okay, and all right, wait a second. Jewish and pro-Israel community, to see a attorney and now, you know, politician General Kamala Harris, we're troubled. You are unwilling to respond to our serious concerns, need to respond to legitimate concerns about professor's anti-Semitic webpage on a California State University Northridge server. I'm interested in what you're seeing and what you're thinking, but there has been an incredible rise in anti-Semitism on university campuses, and you have been a university professor for a very long time. Do you see it here in California, and you see it in Canada, and why do you think we're seeing it at all?
Well, let's address what's happening, Zelda, in the Democratic Party of the United States of America. We have recently seen this, have we not? That there is a clear and present danger, Zelda. There are many forces at work in the Democratic Party of the United States, and these forces entail not only the middle of the road, the traditional establishment Democrats, as in Joe Biden, who may announce his candidacy, but they also involve the new wing, the progressive, the social democratic, and people from other minorities and backgrounds. And the clear and present danger, Zelda, is what I call centrifugal force in the Democratic Party, that they may start to divide each other and split apart on issues such as anti-Semitism. We saw this very recently. And so is this going to spin out of control? These kind of issues, Zelda, there is so much potential and promise in the Democratic Party, but there is fraught with dangers. And if this is not reined in...
Right. Norman, also, you know, there either is the extreme left or the very extreme right. Okay, and the Democratic Party under Harry Truman and John Kennedy were a much more middle of the road than we're seeing now. It's the younger generation that's changing the face of the Democratic Party, and I don't know if the Democratic Party is trying to get back to that middle of the road.
Well, that's a very good question. And can it get back to the middle of the world? Because there are generation gaps as well, Zelda. The mere fact that Joe Biden himself now acknowledges the white male culture that has prevailed, to what extent can he speak to the new demographics? On the other hand, when you have proposals, and I'm talking with people, for example, from in startup enterprises, people from Stanford University with MBAs, when they hear talk of universal medical care, when they hear that there's going to be tuition-free college, and there is a discourse right now, Zelda, about reparations for African Americans due to the legacy of slavery and segregation. At what point are you going to lose the middle of the road because you're going out there in ways that, you know, people have to earn a living here they work hard.
Yeah, I think that what's happening is the millennials who have never really strived for what their parents have, both on the left and the right, have not gone through that. And they are living in a fantasy, from in my humble opinion. We had a Black American on the show on Sunday. His name was C.W. Brotherton, and he's a writer and a philosopher and all that, and he was talking about where the parties are headed and why, and he said that much of the Black community now is turning to the right as opposed to staying with the left where they've always been. So there's got to be a reason for that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you see, it gets back to, you brought up some fundamental issues here. You mentioned about crime and violence, which clearly is a phenomena in the United States of America and in its major cities such as San Francisco. And I can't help but thinking the difference, what a difference a day makes, what a difference it makes the political system here and the political system in New Zealand. After the massacre in Christchurch, Zelda, within days, they changed their laws on assault weapons. Whereas,
but they never had any problem with gun control before. And it's not the guns, Norman. It's the people that use the guns for the wrong reason.
Yeah, well, you see, that's what I'm trying to point out, is that with this kind of, how are we going to summon the political willpower to address issues like crime, like violence, like mental health, like the care for the homeless? But, you know, when you talk to the people here in San Francisco, they got to pay the rent. They got to pay the mortgage. They're dealing with rising costs because of the influx of incredible incomes due to Silicon Valley. So these people, Zelda, are very bottom line oriented. If the Democratic Party goes too far out, they are going to lose the possibilities they have of really addressing policy issues. And make no mistake, Zelda, crime, mental health, substance abuse.
When you don't have food to put on your table,
exactly,
you are going to go to any extreme to get it. So how can we see such a difference from the very rich to the very poor? I mean, it doesn't seem possible to me. There's got to be government or laws that will, you know, the people who live in these glass houses, they don't have any idea of what's going on with people who are suffering.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. And one of the issues that is being being presented now by the some of the Democratic candidates is that there be a minimum wage federally, because keep in mind, Zelda, here in the United States, there is a big difference between state government and federal government, and the state governments have a lot of power in establishing. You talked about Truman, and of course, before Truman, FDR, and Truman and Kennedy, the whole social safety net established by the Democratic Party as a result of the Great Depression, World War II, and then the baby boom. Well, this social safety net, since, again, a California politician, since the Reagan Revolution, it began to strip apart the social safety net, and now there are literally tens of thousands here in San Francisco falling through the cracks, and you see them on the street. That said, there have to be practical solutions. The idea that you're going to give free medical care to everybody in the United States, people like Beto O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren, and others are saying we need to have universal health care. But in the case of Beto O'Rourke, he's saying that's not going to be at the expense of private health insurance. So we have to find a modus operandi, a middle way that has got traction on the ground, and it's not just pie in the sky. What has really changed, Zelda, and as you know, my roots are here at the University of California, Berkeley. I come regularly here. What has really changed in the San Francisco, California, and American political landscape is the discourse, because now with 2020 on everybody's mind, instead of talking about the person of Donald Trump, we are getting down to policy and we're talking issues of society that politicians must address, and in fact, Zelda, they must solve them. And at the same time, this is giving a lot more, it's really variegating the political discourse rather than being simply focused on one person.
I think, Norman, that instead of egos rising to the top, they should be concerned about everyone. That's what the Constitution in America is about. Mm-hmm, that's what it is about here in Canada. It's one for all and all for one instead of all for me. And, you know, we need to think of what's better for the community and give them an opportunity to feel as if they're doing something to get out of the hole. But we cannot take away the riches from one that worked so hard to give to the poor. We have to help the poor to find jobs, to get their feelings back about who they are as individuals.
Yeah, an excellent point. And in fact, you have other there are, of course, those candidates who have, they literally, Zelda, have star power. Beto O'Rourke is one of them. Now, the question is, this is a very young person with a lot of promise, but is he all sizzle and no steak, as we say in my home state and his of Texas? We've got to see, is there substance there? Is it just a matter of talking the talk? Then you have somebody, Kamala Harris, who really has an impact by her intellect and by her experience as a district attorney, a state attorney. And then take Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota. Now, she is striving to do what Bill Clinton did, Zelda. She is trying to meet middle America, bring everybody together at the center, whether they are Republican or Democrat. For example, what she is pointing out very clearly is that it was previously promised that America's infrastructure would get a massive injection to renovate and to improve and indeed to build new infrastructure desperately needed here. Well, she's addressing this. So, and she makes it clear, it's not going to be a matter of giveaways. It's going to be a matter of finding solutions that work. And that's going to be the litmus test.
Okay. Well, I think working together for the betterment of the people as opposed to egos and pocketbooks is the reason. And the Democrats and the Republicans have always worked together, come across the aisle for one another because of the base, which is the people. And it's, and what we're seeing is, you know, silliness and childishness. We need more experienced people who really understand what's important. Norman, we're totally out of time. Thank you so much for your input. We'll talk to you again in the not too distant future when you're back in town.
My privilege. Thanks much, Zelda, and have a great week.
Take care. Norman Cornett.